Global Product Management Talk. This is Cindy Faye Solomon, your host and producer. Delighted to be with you today on Wednesday, February 19th, 2014, if you are in the United States. I'm broadcasting live from Studio132.com in the Oakland Hills of beautiful California with BZ Lewis, our sound engineer, six-time Emmy-winning extraordinary musician. And today we are talking with Paul O'Connor, who's the founder of the Adept Group, about the value of product line road mapping for tying strategy to execution. But before we get there, you're listening to the Global Product Management Talk. You can find us at blogtalkradio.com/PRODMGMTTALK. That is our Twitter handle at PRODMGMTTALK and our hashtag #PRODMGMTTALK. We invite you to tweet using the hashtag and we will shout out to you if you are tweeting live. If you're listening live, you're welcome to call into the show at 323-927-2957. And that's the best live listening quality. If you are near a phone, 323-927-2957. BZ Lewis will screen your calls. You're welcome to join us on the conversation. And you won't get any delay or lag if you call in and listen on the phone. And the show is also available on demand. If you go to www.blogtalkradio.com/PRODMGMTTALK and follow us, you'll get pinged with upcoming shows, and you can access the archive of over 100 episodes, which are also available on iTunes and Stitcher in our Google Play Android app. Just search for PROD. MGMTTALK. I'm Cindy Faye Solomon. I'm an expert product marketing manager and product management evangelist. I founded the Startup Product Movement for Product Excellence. And I want to thank our sponsors and friends of the show. The AIPMM is the Association of International Product Marketing and Management, founded in 1998. The AIPMM has been promoting worldwide excellence in product management education through training, certifications, professional networking opportunities, workshops, and online forums. They are the only worldwide certifying body for product management professionals, guaranteeing that they are operating at peak performance. They have a great webinar series on Fridays. Go to AIPMM.com. And I will be hosting, I will be moderating a few of the webinars coming up, including this Friday's with Chad McAllister, PhD, talking about what innovators really do. So check out AIPMM.com. Thanks to Sprintly. Don't ask how it's going. Watch how it's going with Sprintly. Find them on the web at sprint.ly, bringing the entire corporation to the software development process by showing managers and non-engineers a top-level view of what programmers are doing. Get 10% off your first 3 months using code PRODMGMTTALK2013. And I want to welcome today's guest, Paul, but hold on before I bring him in. We have some news. Very excited to be going down to Florida on this weekend for Product Camp South Florida. Shout out to our friends, the doctors, and some speakers who have been on the show, including Steve Johnson, Alejandro Polanco. Looking forward to meeting him in person. So go to at PCamp SFL and register for free. It's all day on Saturday, and it's an opportunity to meet product managers, talk about product management, and learn what product management is. Take the survey of product team performance from Actuation Consulting, and you get a free white paper. Go to, let's see, Manage Pro. The URL for the survey of product team performance is manage.questionpro.com. That's manage.questionpro.com. And I'm very excited about this survey because it looks at cross-functional and cross-discipline collaboration, and it really analyzes what does it take, what are the elements that guarantee high-performing product teams. And the insights have been very eye-opening for the past couple of years. This is the third one, so definitely take that survey. And announced Startup Product Open, Oakland, an innovative unconference based on open space technology, happening here in Oakland, California on Saturday, March 29th. It's for passionate product people and teams. Register today for early bird pricing. Just go to startupproduct.com and you will see the registration and more information about what Startup Product Open and Unconference is all about, and as well as how you can bring it to your area. So Startup Product is moving for product excellence at startupproduct.com, on the web at Startup Product, and Webcast Digest is a daily curated educational webcast, webinars, free online events for your continuous professional learning. Go to startupproduct.com/webcast and follow on the web at Webcast Digest. And thank you to Blame Sally for the music. Ty Halleck in the Asheville, North Carolina community told me he listened to a bunch of shows and he's been singing the song. I love Blame Sally. So, okay, and a shout out to the Startup Product communities that have come on board, and people in New York and Women in Product, the people in Boston, welcome, and you're welcome to tweet, and I will certainly include you in the conversation. So today we are talking about product line roadmapping. Companies that embrace product line roadmapping can reap enormous benefits, including greater strategic impact, if you think about revenue, earnings, and market share, faster deliveries by leveraging platforms and delivering feeding technologies and capabilities in a more timely fashion, focused and amplified innovation, better resource use, efficiency through much smarter cross-organizational and cross-hierarchy coordination of work and decisions specific to a common product line strategy. And our guest today, Paul O'Connor, is an expert in the field of new product development, and he is a past PDMA president. In 1984, he founded the Adept Group Limited, Inc., with a focus on product development productivity, working with executives at a wide range of global companies across different industries. He is widely published in peer-reviewed journals and business publications, and he was among the original contributors to PDMA's first handbook of product development in 1996, as well as other editions. He's provided material for PDMA's 2004 toolbook. He's a past contributing editor to R&D Magazine, and his work has appeared in the highly respected Journal of Product Innovation Management. He teaches master courses and workshops, and is a frequent speaker, and we're delighted to have him with us today. You can follow on Twitter at Adept, that's A-D-E-P-T underscore, PLM. So the Twitter handle is at Adept underscore PLM. And Paul is giving a workshop April 1st and 2nd in Chicago, and listeners get a 15% discount. It's the Strategizing and Roadmapping the Product Line Workshop. Use the promotion code PRODMGMT. You can find out more about it at the Startup Product Calendar and at adept-plm.com. Okay, Paul, you still with us?
I am here. Thank you very much, Cindy. Thank you for that introduction. And if you don't mind, allow me to embellish it a little bit here back into entrepreneurship and then also into product management. My real roots in the whole area. After getting out of college in the 70s, I was very much in the entrepreneur route and wanting to do things on my own, but found that the way that I could only do things was to work within other companies. So the track had to be, for me at the time, going into product management. Product management was really where all the action in products were at the time. And so I was a product manager in both consumer and in industrial products for a short while before moving into consulting for product development. The reason that this is kind of relevant in this whole area of product management, moving off into road mapping and all, is the evolution of everything that's happened within the field and being able to see it. At the time, when we think back into the time of doing product management putting it into organizations and establishing it in practice in organizations, there was no such thing as a product development process. The whole idea in product development was always get me a good product, get me a good idea. And so we worked on a great deal on creativity things. Today, though, it's totally different. We work on deep strategy thinking around products and product lines and understanding what's happening with product lines. And that's why we are where we're at with product line road mapping, what it means into the field of product management. It's a very exciting time to see this all evolve.
So that's for sure. But wasn't there processes in place coming out of manufacturing?
You know, in the time, when you go back that far, really very little. It was before the quality movement and well before the lean movement, which is an extension of the quality movement. We were just starting to see things happening within manufacturing. So, I would say maybe a little bit the genesis of what we know today was going on back then. But processes, cross-organizational processes and structures and all looked a lot different at the time and the way we thought of them. Today, it's changed an awful lot. Most people that are online listening right now would be very familiar with the whole notion that product life cycles have been compressed an awful lot. This has affected much of what we're doing in product development and in product management. We can't just put a product in the market and expect to survive very long. One product by itself is not going to do us very much good for a very long time. We have to have a line of products, and we need to extend it, and we need to then come in with new platforms to develop new lines, and things that have just changed an awful lot over the last 3, 4, 5 decades.
Excellent. So why don't we set some context here? Even before we go into what do you mean by product road mapping, for our listeners that are tuning in to really learn about what product management is, or their business owners or their entrepreneurs, can you just give us a brief definition from your perspective what you mean by the product life cycle? And maybe it'll take a whole hour.
Yeah, but the product life cycle was introduced back in the 1960s, so the notion of product life cycle and understanding where you are in the product life cycle from entry into a market and then maturity and through maturity then out to decline. And then the organization of what goes on within that life cycle, the details of what happens and how people should manage that life cycle. That built out over the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and we start seeing a lot more things happening with it now in the way people are able to use some of the principles about the life cycle. But you know, in effect, it's saying, look, things don't last forever. Things start up; they need to penetrate. You need to get it into the market, and then you need to get the most you can through its growth and its maturity, but it will decline. And you'd best do the correct activities in the market and in development related to the life of the product. The interesting thing here I think, is that it isn't just the product that we're talking about. It's the platform from which the product comes from, the product offerings come from. So we have to take into consideration the notion of platforms, which can then spawn the different product offerings into the market. And that product platform has its own life cycle, and we need to be very concerned about that and see what's happening. And it doesn't go back that many decades to see that we weren't even talking about platforms back when life cycles first started. It was only about products. Now we get very concerned about the platforms and understanding everything's going on within the platforms. And this gets at the heart of product line strategy and understanding what in the world are we doing with our product line strategy, and does it make sense vis-a-vis the competition and what's going on in the market, in the different segments of the market, and how we're tying everything together. So the life cycle is about the beginning and the end of the offering and how we're going to manage that.
Got it. Some great quotes here of the offering and how we're going to manage it. So by platform, do you mean – exactly what do you mean by platform? Because I'm thinking, you know, from a software and applications perspective, I'm looking at APIs as part of the product line. So what do you mean by a platform specifically?
Right, and platforms is sometimes a difficult concept to wrap your head around, but and the people best to do it are those that are internal to the company and internal to what's going on. But you know, from an outsider's perspective, sometimes on the platform and understanding the platform, we see things that seem to be the case. For example, we might see the Windows 7 as an operating platform, Windows 8 as a totally different operating platform. And we know that we can extend each of the platforms in their own life, but we best not keep that platform around forever. We need to have new platforms come in. And in software, the extension of the platform can be very easy to do with new building blocks adding on to it, new extensions, new service packs, and however we want to do it within our industry, we can do that. But at a certain point, we know we need to jump off the platform and get onto a new platform. That's the competitive situation. That's the market need situation. And in high-tech industries, in software industries, almost all the time, it's not just the direct competitor we're concerned about. It's the competitive alternatives, the other ways of doing things. So it's not the head-on competition. It's the other ways that the market is achieving what they want to achieve, or their desires and their wants and their needs. They're being satisfied in a different way. So the platform can take has its form as the center of the strategy of the product line, and it is important because that's what we're trying to leverage, and from that platform we generate our different offerings and we manage the way we're going forward. So it's a very fundamental key concept to get your arms around if you're going to be playing a very strong product line strategy game. If you're going to just do one-off products, then you don't need to think about this. But if you really want to have power in the marketplace and be able to leverage all your assets, both tangible and intangible assets, you must start thinking about the platform and what's going on with the platform for the product line.
Excellent. So we do have some listeners and tweeters. I just want to give a shout-out to Karen Dworazik. I'm sorry for mispronouncing your name, but she's at Insight Ovation on Twitter. Hi, Camilla Franco in San Francisco. Thanks for listening in. She's a fan from the beginning. And hi, Gil Zilberfeld, who says he's getting better at connecting quickly, and he's listening from Israel. So, and also Kaylee, thanks for tweeting and listening. Okay, So, and hi, Mary Ellen. Yeah, people are resonating with the product development process has deepened and evolved to product line road mapping. So from, well, why don't we go then into the questions then. Thanks for covering the platform perspective. So exactly what do you mean by product road mapping? So we're going to shift over to road mapping, and then I'll let you tie it back into dealing with the platforms.
Okay, so really the full term is product line road mapping. So it's the road mapping of the whole product line. And the focus of product line road mapping in its very simplest form is to lay out a timeline and say what are the actions and the activities that need to happen at different times in order to carry out the strategy. So if we understand a strategy, product line strategy, and we go back to the discussion about platforms as well, we then start looking at, okay, what do we need to do when, with whom in the organization and outside the organization in order to carry out or execute the product line strategy in such a way as to have impact in the market. And that's basically what product line road mapping is. The challenge for all organizations is that it is about, it's not about the direct line of what activities have to happen, but rather the alignment and the agreement about from all the different players that have to participate to get the product line to be carried out correctly. And to get that alignment and agreement, that's the real challenge. That's the really what has to be done. And what we see often, you know, to draw the very simplest cases where you're an entrepreneur and you're doing it all on your own, you do it in your head by yourself. That's simple. There's very little alignment that we have to do. We can just take care of everything on our own. If we go to really complex, big issues about big organizations with very complex things happening, and you can think of Microsoft or up in Seattle with a company like Boeing and their product lines. Let's take like the 787. Here you got this new platform, the 787. So many things have to be coordinated to develop it, to get that platform together, and then to extend the platform to the different segments that they actually go to. They have different versions that come out that they're hoping to get out. To coordinate that across the supply chain, across the markets, across all different parts that have to come together from software to hardware, this is an enormous task, and it's part of the product line strategy off that platform. But to pull it off, to get it to come together, really requires great road mapping planning, product line road mapping planning to come together. At the heart of product line road mapping, therefore, is the aggregation or pulling together this composite view of what's happening in the market, what's happening on the platform, what's happening on different technologies that feed into it, what's happening with the supply chain, what's happening with our sales, what's happening even with finance. How do these things come together in operations, and are we coordinating everything in the right way to get the biggest bang for our buck on the product line strategy? That's what product line road mapping is all about.
So it's hugely complex. There's a lot of moving pieces. So along with this, and what types of product roadmaps are there? So it sounds like you're saying, well, one roadmap shows all of these different levels.
Right. I think that the better question is what kind of roadmaps are there, not product line. The product line roadmap is the composite of all different roadmaps for the product line, for the specific product line. The different types of roadmap that come together in that composite becomes quite interesting. You have a roadmap for the supply chains, and think of there could be many different supply chains. You have the roadmap for software and what's happening with the software. There could be a roadmap on a hardware side. Oftentimes, these don't run at the same cycle, and so it causes even more problems. And we have roadmaps on what's happening in markets and market segmentation and how our marketing group is doing executing against those segments. We have roadmaps that deal with operations, getting operations to carry out the product and trying to pull that together. And if the organization is small, much of this becomes irrelevant. It's very close, easy to coordinate. If the larger the organization, the more complex the product, the more difficult it gets. One of our challenges over the years related to the general topic of road mapping, not specifically product line road mapping, is in fact that there are many different types of roadmaps that get created. And for the product manager, it is not sufficient just to have one. The product manager has to have them all, has to have everything coming together, has to have that composite view of everything and be able to orchestrate it to the strategy of the product line, or it's not very helpful at all. And when road mapping started up, from my perspective, it started up much in the 1990s with a group out of Northwestern University and a lot of R&D folks from the old Lucents and Motorolas and all got together at that time to do this, that it was only about technology. It was only about technology roadmaps. They were trying to coordinate what they could do on technologies and how those technologies played out. What was not being done at the start was the composite of all the different parts coming together. That's one of the things that has changed an awful lot here. So for the product manager, it's important to understand that product line road mapping requires these different roadmaps to come together and to align together perfectly so that the strategy can be pulled off as they wish. If they don't align, people are pushing in different directions or slowing things down, then the strategy will be less effective than desired.
Got it. Okay. So I think you pretty much covered our question two, which was, what is distinct about product line road mapping? And you gave us a bit of history, which I appreciate. So who, besides the product manager, I actually have a lot of questions from a product management point of view, but the first one is, who needs to be involved in a company's product line road mapping practice in addition to the product manager?
Well, the product manager is going to know who needs to be involved because if they're trying to coordinate all the activities, they see not only the functions or departments that have to be involved, they probably know the specific individuals that need to be involved. And it cuts across the organization. There's just no getting away from the fact that product line road mapping, as with other types of product development activities, is in fact cross-functional. It cuts across the functions in the organization. It needs to be involving people from sales and marketing. It needs people involved from operations. It needs the software developers. It needs engineering. It needs operations people. It needs supply chain involved. And in some companies, they may refer to that even as just purchasing involved. And these people need to be involved because typically they're not working on just one product line. They would be working on multiple product lines. And if they are, the biggest competition for my product line strategy and getting the roadmap together for my product line strategy and having it executed well over time is that the other functions are being pulled by all the other activities in the organization. And if I don't have alignment on this, they're going to be pulled by these other forces in the organization, causing it's going to just upset and delay everything that we want to get done for our roadmap. So in order to create the roadmap, we need the involvement, the participation of these other functions and their thoughts and understanding some of the deep thoughts that they have on both opportunities and constraints from their functions, as well as to be able to observe other functional issues going on and being able to contribute to the dialogue about that. So it cuts across all the functions, and we can't get away from it. Those that would be involved in the development of the product and getting it out the door, they have to be involved in road mapping, basically.
So that, for me, you're defining what a product manager does, key to that position, because who else would drive the product line roadmap? It would be the product line manager. I would assume if that is a distinct title.
It is, in fact, the product line manager that has to drive it within an organization. Now, there are certain organizations where they may, in fact, have a what we would refer to as a platform manager, and they would run the product line off the platform. Now, they would be concerned about all things related to that platform. And they may have different titles, but in fact what they are doing is product management. They are doing the total life cycle of that product and being very concerned about the platform and being able to gain the alignment of all the different functions within the organization using the roadmap to get that alignment and then using the roadmap to execute the strategies that they feel are appropriate. So this is dead center to what a product manager needs to be doing, should be doing, and must understand how to get it done.
Excellent. So shout out to Michael Sweet. Thanks for retweeting. So Gil asks, how is road mapping related to agile minimal approach, especially product lines which require lots of upfront planning?
Yeah, agile is a very interesting part of the development process. And we see in different types of product development, different types of development processes are very useful. Agile, almost from the beginning, implies the extension of the platform. It implies the incremental extension of the platform that is being offered, and it's a very powerful way to go forward. But let's understand clearly that if we just do the Agile by itself without coordination of what happens on the market side, without coordination of the sales side, and also some of the things that might be happening within and for the industry structure that we're serving, we may be doing the wrong things. We may be marching in a very nice, easy way with our agile approach, incrementally moving our platform forward, and then find ourselves in the exact wrong place strategically. So we want to be able to incorporate the full view of where we want to get to in the roadmap and use agile for the developer's approach and the developer's path forward on that roadmap. It's a very intimate relationship between the developer and the overall product line roadmap. Well, you know, let me just add to this that in other industries other than just software, agile approach is not used as much, and we would see other types of development processes like StageGate used. It is the same situation for those that are in StageGate and for tangible hard asset kind of products. That the relationship between how products get developed in StageGate ties very close back into what's happening on the roadmap. And we would want the roadmap to give the overall guidance so that all different functions within the organization can come together, and those that are doing the development work from whatever function that they're coming from can in fact do that development. properly. Excellent. and in time. Right?
Excellent. So Karen asks, you know, what if my company doesn't have product, platform, or portfolio managers? Can they still create product roadmaps? And I would say, yes, of course, but who would be charged with driving the alignment if not for someone, you know, who has that title? It's a full-time endeavor.
Right. So, you know, Karen's asking a very fundamental question here. What if we don't follow product line strategies that call on platforms and leveraging platforms? What if we don't think like that? It sets up a difficult challenge to get things moving. But the act of carrying out road mapping is also the act of creating the product strategy and the discovery of the core of what the platform may be. Now, to those that know exactly what the platforms are, this might sound kind of ridiculous, but the truth is, in many companies, they don't know. They're not sure, or maybe it's better stated, they don't have an agreement across the functions of what the platform is. It has morphed and changed so many different times and different ways over time that that understanding the essence of the platform has just kind of evaporated. And we see this often when the platform gets into maturity. Same thing is true on portfolio management. Once you start running a roadmap, the need for portfolio management, that's the portfolio of the products that are being developed, the portfolio becomes management becomes very, very important to see how it's happening, because portfolio management is the distinct assignment of resources to each of the different projects, and that assignment of resources tells you how you're playing out all the different types of projects across all the platforms, across all of the product lines. And without a sound portfolio management process, it will weaken the execution of the roadmap. So you would see that if you put the roadmap together, you'd need to start developing developing the portfolio management practices as well. In fact, from our viewpoint, it's kind of like the opposite is happening now. Many organizations have done a real good job doing development activities such as Agile or Stage-Gate or processes to carry out product development on individual projects, individual product development projects. The roll-up of those has now, and I would say much of that has gotten into mature capability within most organizations. The capability around portfolio management has started to move forward a great deal over the last 7-8 years, and we're real happy to see what's going on within organizations around portfolio management. But curiously enough, it's that portfolio management and trying to optimize the portfolio that is begging and calling out for product line road mapping and having sound, strong product line roadmaps, not just one for me as a product manager, but for all the product managers and all the product lines within the organization, because we need to know what that is in order to coordinate what we're doing in our portfolio. So these processes relate, and they set the stage for how to pull off full life cycle management of products and the development of new products for each product line in a much more coherent and strategically oriented approach.
Yeah. So I think there was some, it's great. I appreciate the Twitter interaction, but I don't know if they're also listening or if they're just reading the tweet, because it's very easy to take things out of context. So Gil has said he's disagreeing. He's saying if we follow a big plan and just let developers be agile, we can't adapt to the market. But my understanding is what you said is that it requires total alignment with the developers.
Absolutely. The developers, I would think that the developers want to align to something and then also want to have other things aligned to what they're doing. And Agile is usually not the place where new platforms get thought up and come together. Agile is the place where new where platforms that have been worked on and begun for a specific strategic reason would then begin to extend out and begin to add and offer value to the product line. And Agile is incredibly important in order to do things quickly, to do things in a way that can be done in reality rather than forcing other things to happen first or second. And one would definitely want to make sure that that the Agile team understood where the roadmap is intended to go, and one would want to be able to take the input from the Agile team to understand where to take the roadmap over time.
Excellent. Thank you. Karen, great question. So Karen asks, if I am an executive, how much do I need to know about road mapping and how much do I participate? So she wants to get right down to implementation.
Yeah, this is a tough one, and thanks for the question, Karen. Senior management needs to see the roadmap. They have to see how the roadmaps all roll together, how they come together, and what the product line strategies are. So to think of product line strategies within for a product manager to be in isolation from everything else going on within the organization is kind of silly. It is a senior management tool to be able to understand where things are going and where either resource investments are going to be made, capability investments are going to be made, and or even capital expenditures are going to be made. These decisions, is what we refer to as the decision flow, need to come together for senior managers. They need to see how this plays out for the whole of the business and how the product line strategies support the business strategy and how they come together. The participation of senior management in the road mapping is not necessary on the detail levels. The participation of the senior management in the decision flow, in its acceptance and its investment, obviously that's very, very necessary. And so we know that companies that keep the senior managers out of this activity really don't have any power from the process afterwards. That the processes of road mapping are left very weak, and it is when the senior managers get involved in the decision making of what the roadmap is, that's when we start to see a real strong tie into strategy and a real strong tie into the execution of that strategy, of the product line strategy, aligned to a business strategy afterwards.
Excellent. Okay, so Gil is all about that he feels that Agile is the antithesis. In order to adapt to change, you have to be flexible, and that roadmaps prescribe. And so he's seeing that Agile conflicts with road mapping. But my answer to him is that we're talking about more than just a technical roadmap. We're talking about more than just the product build here. We're talking about really aligning all of the resources and all of the activities in the entire organization. And, you know, as a product manager, I would show the different pieces of the roadmap to different audiences. I would show them different views because they have different needs. And you want to use, you know, the roadmap as a communication device to let people understand what the alignment is and to bring the organizations together. You don't want to use it as a way to, alienate the developers or hold anyone back from doing their job efficiently.
Oh, all of this I could agree with you very easily, Cindy. You've stated it quite well. Road mapping is a communication tool once it's together, but it's a strong communication tool because it's only a roadmap when you get agreement across the different functions. Now, if we were to say that those people that are doing the software development and they happen to be using the Agile methodology on doing that software development don't agree with the roadmap, this is a challenge right to begin with, isn't it? It would be, you're saying we don't agree with where we want to go with the product, the offering, and we need to work that out. And that's the product manager's challenge then. The product manager must step up to try to work out how to pull the different communities together so that there is an alignment. And it's wrong to take to think that the roadmap should be directed by the software developers. It's wrong to think that it should be directed by the marketing people. It's wrong that the salespeople. It's actually everybody that has to come together. Everybody has to come together, and that's the biggest challenge for the product manager. How do they make this work, and then do it in the context of what's going on in the marketplace with competition, with the changing needs of customers? How do they take all these things into account and get it to happen? So it's a communication tool. And it's an alignment tool. And if you come at this from the point that you don't think we need alignment, then we have a fundamental disagreement.
Excellent. Okay. So let's see. So I think we've actually been addressing some of the challenges companies face in implementing a product road line map. So thanks for bringing those up, Gil. And, you know, sometimes it's even a matter of a different languaging. It's a different perspective. It's like once different functions understand what the product manager is trying to do, then they can get in alignment. But, you know, everyone wants to protect their own turf and their own autonomy. And I would presume that everyone wants to do the right thing for the product because it's all about driving revenue. It's all about aligning with this objectives and the KPIs, which hopefully, you know, there can be a resolution that scales the product.
All of this is true. It's about aligning things and pulling it together. You know, you go back into history just to think about this for a moment. When the technology guys were getting together to do technology road mapping, and they started working things out, it became really clear right from the start that just having a technology, knowing where a technology might go, a roadmap, was just not sufficient because they needed to understand also what was happening in the marketplace. And they needed to know how the organization itself was changing to match up with what happened in the market, what's going to happen in the marketplace. Was it dividing in segments or going in different directions for these different needs? Then at the same time, the need to put out a roadmap to let people know, your customers know where you're going with your product so that they know whether they want to invest in you becomes a real important part. So what we were seeing is that these technology people coming straight from technology only got together and they started realizing this isn't going to add up at all unless we bring in these other views and we have alignment about everything that's going on with these other views. Sales, marketing, operations, engineering, software development, they all have to come together.
Exactly. So thanks. So Gil is apologizing. You didn't hijack the show, Gil. I chose to include your points because they were valid. So we'll look forward to your blog post, and this show will be available on demand. By the way, you're listening to the Global Product Management Talk. I'm your host and producer, Cindy Faye Solomon. You can find this show and past shows at blogtalkradio.com/PRODMGMTTALK. We come to you regularly, weekly. And we have a Twitter chat on the side, which has been active today, so it's great. It's great. And I'm talking with Paul O'Connor. He's the founder of the Adept Group, and we've been discussing the value of product line road mapping for tying strategy to execution. So that our halftime, we're actually beyond halftime, so I just noticed the time. So what kinds of tools are there available to support product road mapping? Because it actually is quite, you know, a huge endeavor to undertake.
Yeah, that's one of the areas we've been very fortunate in over the last number of years, is there's more and more tools that are coming out that can support this activity. If you look at the challenge of the activity in an organization, it's about pulling insights, information, knowledge, and insights together from different groups within the organization. And oftentimes, these different groups are located around the globe in different areas, and they need to coordinate this. It gets very challenging to try to think you're going to – it's a difficult problem to think you're going to bring all people from around the world to come to one site and work it out over a short visit. And it gets very costly to do that. So that the tools that have been put together and offered in the marketplace really fall into two categories. One is the collection and the mapping of the different – different roadmaps into a composite, into the total view. And the other is the tools that help ramp it up as a process within an organization. So we have, and the Adept Group is fundamental in this, in offering what we call roadmapping ramp up. And this is the tool that helps organizations set up this cross-organization, cross-geography, cross-functional process of carrying out the roadmap. And then once it's set up, it transfers over into the tools that are used continually to update the information, to keep it up to date, to change, to recognize the changes in the market. So the tools fall into those two groups, ramping it up and then ongoing execution. And we find underneath that there are many sub-tools that get used, templates and point solution kind of things that can help out along the way, everything from certainly from Microsoft Excel to some very complicated things for doing modeling and metrics around product lines and in markets.
In markets. So is there, you know, early on, I have discussions with this all the time. We used to look for the panacea. What is the product line, the one piece of software that can manage all of the things that a product manager has to do that could be customized for all of the different situations, types of products, industries, and everything else? And I've given up that there could be one product that could do everything, unless, you know, it was so complex. So I agree, you know, I agree with you. There's lots of many different tools, and I do know that I see on a weekly basis now new tools being launched and new startups that are trying to address these issues.
Yes, there are a lot of different tools. You know, it's funny. I was with one company, and they had had used a commonly used tool without giving names on the tools. They'd used a commonly used tool for many years, and they decided to go over and do their own tool for themselves, using their own technologies for themselves, by themselves. And they developed quite an interesting tool, or should I say tool set, to do this. The challenge that I have with it is simply that you have to be exactly like that company to find the utility of that tool. And in my knowledge of business, I would say there are only two or three companies like that in the world. And so therefore, the customization proved very valuable to them, but it's not of much value to everybody else. And it can't be used in that way. Most organizations will need to evolve their practices and evolve their tools along the way and use these tools to get to where they want to go and then to help the developers of the tools extend the value, probably using, to Gil's credit, probably using Agile approach to extend those tools out to what would be more helpful to each of the individual cases of conducting road mapping.
Excellent. So Nils Davis mentioned a few tools, and I actually keep track of all the new tools I can see, you know, that I see coming out and try them. So I'm actually planning a web series on tools for the AIPMM, which I'm very excited about. So let's see, another question. We're coming to the end. So Karen is asking, is it possible to do portfolio and road mapping without software today?
Oh, sure. Everybody does it already. They do it to a certain degree. The problem is you can't get high in capability without software support. The problem is you can't do certain things at a higher level of capability without having the software. So to the simple question, can you do it? Yeah, but can you do it at a high capability level and get all the benefits that you need out of it? Probably no. And this is, you know, I'm couched the response here. It's couched in the how big the organization is, how complex the product lines are, and how fast things change, what the life cycles of the products are. And we did a deep study on this kind of thing about 10 years ago in the field of portfolio management. We were able to show that you can get into maybe first, second capability levels without using very complicated software. You can keep it in Excel and so forth. But the problem is you can't get up to the higher levels that you need to get the real benefit of full road mapping, development, agile and stage gate development, and then also into portfolio management. You can't get into that higher level of capability without having a good set of tools.
Excellent. Well, thank you. So I think we've covered certainly a beginning delve into the value of product line road mapping, Paul. So thank you for that. We've had some great Twitter discussion, which will continue. And I do encourage everyone who's been listening to definitely blog about this. Episode will be available on the startupproduct.com website. It's available on iTunes. Just search for Global Product Management Talk or PRODMGMTTAK. It's available on Stitcher. You can get it from an RSS feed. And it is all over the web. Just search for PRODMGMTTAK. This is Cindy Faye Solomon. Thank you for listening today. I've been talking with Paul O'Connor, who's the founder of the Adept Group. And I want to mention a few things before the end. So there is a 15% discount. If you want to say quickly one thing about the upcoming Strategizing and Roadmapping Product Line Workshop happening April 1st through 2nd in Chicago, Illinois. Use PRODMGMT. Find out more about it at the Startup Product Calendar and at adept-plm.com. 30 seconds for a quickie about the workshop, Paul.
Yeah, this workshop has evolved over the years, and it's getting real exciting to me now because it's deeply into some of the principles of product line strategy, platform and product line strategy, and then the principles of rolled up with the principles of product line road mapping to pull it together. We encourage people to come as a group if they can, and not just a single person, because this is a cross-functional activity. It's usually a very nice group of people that we are able to get into very deep discussions about all these topics.
Excellent. Thank you. So please join us again next week when I will be talking with another award nominee for the Edison Awards in Product Excellence. And thank you again to our sponsors at AIPMM. I will be moderating the webcast this Friday with Chad McAllister, talking about what product innovators do and how innovation happens. He's been traveling around the country in an RV doing interviews with innovators. And again, join us next week. Follow us at PRODMGMTTALK for the transcript of tweets and for blog follow-ups. Thanks again, Paul and Kaylee and our tweeting audience, and have a great week.
Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you, Cindy.
Okay.
Lost to a thief on a dry wind. I wouldn't know love if